All right, thank you all for coming to Commissioner's Court today. I want to welcome everyone. Is there someone who would volunteer today to open our session with invocation? Yes, Constable, if you would please. If we would all stand together. Constable, would you also lead us in the pledges?
Yes.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to give thanks. We're thankful that we get to gather today and talk about important issues. We ask that you guide us in these matters and issues, and we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas,
one state,
under God,
one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. And let the record reflect that all are present today. As we begin, are there any citizens who would like to make comments this morning? I would say that it needs to be an item on the consent or the open agenda. 3 minutes, if you would please. State your name for the record. And if you have any information to hand us, if you would ask permission from the dais before you approach the bench. Is there anyone who has an item on the agenda? Yes.
Do you want to approve the minutes before I go?
The minutes, but the agenda needs an approval, Joe.
I'm sorry? Is your microphone on?
I move on the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Thank you.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Jennifer Eckhart. I'm here to speak to item 11A. In January 2022, Judge Keogh deferred an item in reference to the purchase of new radios for the firefighters in lieu of determining ARPA eligibility. As far as I am aware, that item has not been brought back to court. But as we can see by the agenda item in 11A, in regards to the purchase of a mobile command center with ARPA money, it seems those radios would be eligible. The community appreciates the county being prepared for natural disasters and mass casualties, which is what these mobile command centers are used for. And while it makes financial and logistical sense for Precinct 1, working in conjunction with ESD 1, for a command center to be purchased for the north part of the county, I find it a bit strange and not financially prudent for Precinct 3 to also purchase another $1 million center, particularly when ESD 8 is already working on the one they lost due to a fire. Once they received the insurance reimbursement funds, they proceeded to afford to acquire a new one. But I'm guessing Nowak already knew that because ESD 8 is in his precinct. But I'm curious why Precinct 3 is not copying what Precinct 1 is doing and working with their local ESD to combine needs and share costs in such an expensive item, particularly when one such item locally is only typically used 3 times in 8 years. We can see from the spec sheets that the two command centers are identical, but the one for Precinct 3, which is not in production yet, is a bit more expensive, I guess, because the prices had already gone up by the time you decided you wanted to add one. I'm sure you can agree that almost $1 million would be better utilized meeting more critical needs, maybe even better suited to help purchase those radios the firefighters needed. Now, I do agree that all of the ESDs are responsible for forecasting and budgeting for future needs and cost. Since these boards of these taxing entities are not elected by we the people, we fully expect whichever commissioner appoints them to oversee them, to make sure they are getting the help and tools they need to serve the community, including financial oversight. I ask that Precinct 3 consider not duplicating expensive efforts and plan more efficiently with the taxpayers' money. If any commissioner does not want the ultimate oversight of any board, then we the people ask that you change it to an elected board. Thank you.
Thank you.
34 seconds is fair.
Here you go. Is there anyone else who has comments that you'd like to share on any item on the consent or open agenda? If there is not, then at this time we'll move forward. Proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. The Historical Commission. Larry Forrester, come forward and share.
Thank you, Judge Keogh and Commissioners. Every year, the Texas Historical Commission requests that the local county historical commissions give a presentation, a report to the Commissioner's Court, as well as an additional report that is given to the Texas Historical Commission, because our commission reports to both you and to the state. And so in front of you are a couple of things, three things actually. One is the annual report, one is a history road rally flyer, and we've given you a souvenir history road warrior button. Every year we have a history road rally in different places, different parts of the county. Last year it was in Magnolia. This year it'll be in East County along Highway 59, Interstate 69. Next year it should be back in South County, where we did it before. And there's, believe it or not, there's history all over this county. This county is rich in history. So the report for that you have in front of you simply summarizes some of the activities that we've done last year. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You can read it at your leisure. But I'll point out that one of the things I'm excited about is we have a couple that are members of our historical commission, Frank and Merlin Hersom, who have been very engaged and very diligent in doing a cataloging and inventory of all the historic structures in Montgomery County. They've been doing it for 2 years, and most of them are in Conroe. They'll be moving on to other areas around the county over time. A number of us on our historical commission have also been working with members of the Conroe community to try to preserve and repurpose the old Conroe College that goes back to 1903, the first African-American institution of its kind in Montgomery County. And we've also been very involved, several have been involved in the preservation of the old Thomas Chapel, which Commissioner Walker is familiar with. It's located there. It's the oldest church in Montgomery County, and still has parishioners that go there on a regular basis. One other thing I'll mention is that we've grown from, I think when I was appointed about 10 or 11 years ago, I think we may have had 10 members, and I was by far the youngest at about age 62 or 63. We now are up to 35, and they're really engaged. They're from all over the county, from all backgrounds and so forth. And we couldn't do it without the Commissioner's Court. So I really, really, really appreciate what you've done. I also want to introduce, I don't know if we got any other members of our commission, but we have Victor Ewer, who was selected as our co-chair or our vice chair of the commission. And he's a retired school principal, and he's been very engaged in a lot of projects, and he's sort of my trusted sidekick on a lot of these projects now, so we thank him for being here. Again, the road rally is this Saturday afternoon. We'll have people have 2 hours to chase down all the clues, the history scavenger hunt of East County. They will have fun. They'll have a lot of fun. They'll learn a lot about East County that they never knew, including even Matt Gray is going to learn some things that he grew up in East County, but he's going to learn some things that he didn't know about. So for people that participate there, that's the whole purpose, is for people to have their roots grow deeper in the area they live in so they can come to love it even more. Again, I thank you for your support. You're always there for us, and we deeply are gratified by your support. Thanks again.
Larry, thank you so much, and thank you for this comprehensive report and all the things that you do to keep us aware of where we have been.
I move.
We have a motion. Is there a second to approve? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you,
Larry. Thank you all very much. All right, let's move forward then to our consent agenda. As we move forward, I have a modification to make on right down below on your agenda where it says auditor number 2, A2, and it's correct on the backup on the website, but here that 16.3, not to exceed 16.3, should say 9,300, not 16,300, should say 9,300.
All right, Judge, I have a couple of modifications. You can type those down for the court. We need to defer 9B8 on page 3, 9B8 on page 3, And then on 8, defer 9U5. So 9U.
Okay, let me take them out here.
Are you waiting to defer this, Commissioner, or bring them to open?
On 9B, yeah, 9B8, page 3, I'm sorry, to go ahead and bring that to open. Thanks, Amanda.
Which one now, sorry?
9B.
It's on page 3.
The first one on page 3?
Yeah.
Open?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll move that to open. Defer 9U5 on page 8. And then on back to page 3, 9B4, move that to open. Nine E1A on page 4, if we can move that to open.
9E.
Then 9Q2B on page 7. And then the last one is 9U2, page 8.
Okay, so
9Q2B on page 7. That's one of the two. That's one of the two agreements for Commissioner Metz passed right before he left.
Okay, so we're going to go over these one more time real fast, Commissioner. You got them written down. You got defer 9B8.
No, we're going to move that to open. I was wrong on that. Move that to open.
Go on down.
Yeah, and then defer 9U5. And then the other ones are all moved to open.
Okay. All right. Are there any other items on the agenda that we need to make a modification on the consent agenda? If there are none, then do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with modifications?
Move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Let's move forward.
This should move quickly.
9B8, Commissioner.
Yes, sir. Has the we are going to memorialize some actions that were taken specifically regarding the relocation of the treasurer's office. Has that been completed? Is any 100% moved? Do you want to?
This is regarding 9B4.
I've not been upstairs to or downstairs to inspect yet, but I was told by building maintenance that the move was done yesterday. So
okay, good. And then so everything upstairs is complete.
Should be completed or into the closet that we moved across the hall.
So. And then what needs to be done for the final conversion of that space to?
That's where I need to go and look and see what, you know, as the shelves are on the wall, they probably need to be repainted. There's probably some things that need to be done, but that should be minor, and I should still have a remaining funding available from the original item several months ago to cover anything building maintenance may need to do there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, great. Move on that. Just was clarifying.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 9B4, page 3, Commissioner.
No, 9B8.
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry. Yeah. That one, Amanda and Dodie.
I've got it.
And the judges have been working on this for some time.
Yeah, so we did have some slight modifications to the wording. We did have the draft of the plan went to the county attorney's office. They had a few comments on it, and then we made a couple of additional comments due to some feedback that we got. One of those feedbacks being that any step increase that or on the plan increase, the county court at law judge or the district judge themselves will approve that as well. Then we want to make sure that the judge okays it. We don't want to be giving an increase just because you guys adopted the plan. We want to make sure that their supervisor is in agreement with that. And then just some language changes on word types.
And so going forward, when a change is made in a county court at law or a district court and they hire a coordinator 1, a coordinator 2, or a court administrator, they will come in at this level of pay the starting pay plus whatever experience or whatever court experience they have, and
yes.
they'll earn position experience pay along the way.
That's correct.
And it's not negotiable. This is it.
That's correct. If they want something above the increase above the formulaed salary structure plan, they do have to put an item on commissioner's court to come up with that. I'm also asking you guys to vote that they do make no job offer until they have that commissioner's court agenda item open to discuss it. We don't want to be saying, hey, yeah, we'll pay you $85,000, and really all they have approval to do is $67,000. We don't want them to, you know, give an obligation to the county that they don't have. So we're asking them before they give the job offer that they come to commissioner's court if they have a problem with the recommended position salary.
Well, good job to you and Doty on getting this done, because since I've been here, court pay has been one of the biggest points of contention between the judges and commissioners both for forever and ever.
This is a plan we've been working on for at least 2 years now, two budget years, FY 2022 and FY 2023. We did get judge feedback at the beginning of this process. What you're seeing today is very, you know, it's very similar to what we've presented to you guys in the past. We've gotten some feedback from the courts this round and have heard no objections at this point.
I think it's good. I move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. All right, 9E1A on page 4.
Yeah. Trucks, the vehicles and
yes. yeah.
cages, we haven't had a chance to talk. I thought we just completed buying.
We bought the trucks.
New air-conditioned trucks and cages, and now they're needing. It's just a never-ending battle with cages.
It is.
What is going
Welcome
on?
Welcome to my world. That is the animal shelter.
Tell us what's going on over there.
What we're doing is we purchased the trucks. We had additional trucks. And in order for our ACOs to go out and pick up the animals, they need additional cages. We're still operating with cages that don't have any air conditioning or heating in them. The trucks that we purchased are adequate to be able to heat and air condition, and can be hooked right up to the truck in the F-350s, and it's essential that we do that. And we had passed and approved that in the past.
Yeah, no, yeah. I just thought that we had bought enough in the past. How many
cages? No.
Yeah, cages and trucks.
No, no.
We have.
But I off the top of my head, I can't tell you. But
is everything we've got over there's got air conditioning in it? Every cage we got is air conditioned cage for these dogs?
No. It's not.
Is that what you're trying to do? Get all air conditioned?
They're small, and they need to be air conditioned, and they need to be heated. Yeah. Granted, they're animals, but we're humane, and we have started this process.
Everything needs to be air conditioned.
Judge and Commissioners, if you recall, when we passed that several years ago, they had 10 trucks at the time. You did it in batches of three, so you did mm-hmm. 2 years of three and three, so it still has four trucks that are on air conditioned with cages that need to be replaced. So we have the trucks, as the judge said, but you can't remount the old cage on the new truck because it's not air conditioned.
We get all this done and we need new trucks. Can we take these cages and put them on these trucks?
That was how they were designed. They were designed for remounting in the past. So the new ones that we have can be remounted to new trucks as the truck wears down.
And then of course we're also going to make sure that we build a replacement budget for the cages. We build a replacement budget for the vehicles. This year we started budgeting because we knew that the judge needed, with discussion with the judge and animal services, that they did need additional cages to go with, you know, newer cages. So we started budgeting the replacement cage as part of the truck. But of course, at some point, the cage is not going to have the same renewal or the same replacement as the truck. So we'll make sure that we have that replacement plan as part of our budget.
And what kind of trucks are we using?
F-350.
One ton truck to pick up dogs and cats and.
Well, unit on the back is pretty heavy. It's like a cab over camper, if you will.
As you told me to take charge of this deal, I've taken charge of it. I've spent a lot of time on this. I've shopped these trucks. I've worked with Gilbert. I've done everything that we need to do to get there, and we must have F-350s.
And somebody
they need to be four-wheel drive, and they need to be diesels.
Huh? said, and somebody even stole one of his trucks one day.
That's right. You came and stole one of them from me while I was sitting there on the lot. So, yes, we absolutely need this.
So can we use that $450,000 pet
COVID? No, can't before that.
So here's the problem. I love the fact that you're making headway over at the animal shelter, but that is one of the budgets that has grown more than any budget in the county since I've been here, is animal shelter. Not saying you grew it.
No.
Just us in general. And we spend more on protecting animals in Montgomery County than we do children.
Well, you're gonna
and we've got to somehow get, I mean, animals are important, kids are important, budget's important, but I hate seeing, and if we can't use that Petco grant for that, what can we, what do we, what do you
we,
get to
we,
use it
for? It's going to continue to grow. Listen, we just did a 381 agreement for 7,000 homes in Splendora. You know, the amount of homes that are coming in here, if you just look at the report on schools and elementary schools and everything else, guys, everybody needs to get their head around that. Everything is growing, and we're going to have to increase. We're doing everything we can to not come and ask for an increase or a better facility. So we had PGL do the evaluation on it. Trucks are all part of this. Now, again, I don't have a problem with people asking questions, but if you guys want to run it, I'll be glad to step back and let you do it.
But
this is what I need.
I don't think anybody's trying to offend you. I'm just trying to ask what the need is, and I don't think that's irresponsible. It would be irresponsible of us not to ask what the need is for. And then how will these be funded should these cages be, you find them, how are they going to be funded?
Right now they have $42,000 and they're still in their operating budget for capital outlay, and then they also have one replacement for the cage also in the capital replacement fund. So right now $42,000 for whatever that covers, and then plus one replacement out of the
is
capital.
Is that how
equipment.
Much a cage is roughly? $42,000?
No, what, Jay?
The new price, I don't know, that's why we're sending out for advertisement.
What was the old price, roughly?
I don't remember 40? Off the top of my head what we did a couple years ago. I believe back then the truck in the cage was a little over 90,000 or a little over 75,000. But as you know, with trucks, I mean, they're getting close to that price alone on their own. So that's why Gilbert has this going out for advertisement to get the price and the bid back on.
Right, and this is just advertising today.
Yeah.
And this is not being critical, Judge. I'm just trying to ask because I thought that we had bought enough of these darn cages and trucks.
If you'd answer my calls, I would be able to answer these questions for you.
Calling in a long time.
Well, I'm not calling you and asking for approval.
Well,
Judge, that's why, but you don't return my calls. Commissioner, you need to understand this.
You
don't
return,
you have not answered a call in 60 days from me.
Judge, you haven't called me in 60 days.
Because I quit calling you because you won't call me back.
I really don't see where we're trying to get on to anybody.
I
just want to know why we're using a one-ton truck.
I understand.
And we're buying more air-conditioned cages. That's my question.
Well,
I'm not trying to criticize anybody.
Let me tell you something.
I pull a lot of stuff with a 3/4-ton truck, and I guarantee you I can pull a hell of a lot more than an air-conditioned cage.
Yeah. Well, the air conditioning is a must because a lot of these animals they pick up are in poor conditions. And if they put them in a hot box, if you will, they may not make it back to the shelter before they...
Right.
I mean, so that...
And today is just the advertising, so Gilbert's going to bring you back kind of the total cost and how to budget this.
Let me see if I can add a little clarity. So we were looking for trucks for the animal shelter. We found 2 3/4-ton trucks when we bought those. Those, I believe, are the ones that will be used for the cages, so 3/4-ton trucks. We also found a 1-ton that they needed to pull a trailer that they had, a huge trailer.
These dually, 1-ton dualies?
No, they're single axle.
Okay.
And so the 2 3/4-tons that we found, now they need to put these cages on those 2 new ones. I'm checking with Susan right now in my office. I believe the AC cages that we ordered, we never got. We didn't get the trucks either because that was right when COVID started.
And that would be where my
kind
of question originated.
Correct.
I know we bought a
ton of ordered
cages
them.
And trucks. And
well, we ordered them.
Clark's days and my days. And
right. We ordered
Judge's
them.
Judge's days.
And I can clarify whether we got them or not. I don't think we did because I think the orders were canceled. And that's why we went and bought the trucks that we needed now. Okay. So the 2 3/4-ton trucks that we bought, the cages will go on those. And they're about $45,000 apiece. And that's why we're bidding them out, because they want to.
Yeah, and I bought one or two of them with my budget.
And so the funding that was set up for those trucks that were canceled, that money is still in place?
Right.
I believe that's part of the carryover, Commissioner. If you guys remember, a few months ago, we had a carryover where we carried over everything from the 22 budget into the 23 budget. I believe that is part of that. And that's why it would make sense that right now in their capital outlay, they have about $43,000, which is about, you know, what it sounds like maybe previously was about one cage.
Judge Keogh, thanks for your efforts on the dogs. That we've got a huge issue over in East County. And as far as the AC cabs, when they're out there all day, I assume if they make a pickup, they're not running back over to home base at the animal shelter. So that would explain why we can't, would need that. And you're driving around all the way in Splendor, deep New Caney, you know, and it's 100 degrees outside. So
yeah.
I'm with you.
Appreciate it. All right. Is there any more discussion? All right. Do I have a motion? I'll make the motion on the E1A, truck mountable animal cages for animal services, to put that out for bid. Is there a second?
Move.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
Forgive me for getting horsey with you.
That's all right.
All right.
Good. It's a good time for all.
I will say this about the shelter business. It's highly emotional.
I've been there. It's tough.
Everybody's
we've all been
geared up, self-included. So, all right, let's move forward.
All right. So 9Q2B.
This is just a fully executed version of what was passed already.
I understand what it is. Okay. I voted against it the first time, so I'm not going
to. Would like to vote against it against the executed version?
Yes.
Okay.
And I would like to make a comment that we had these two very large agreements come through at the end of a commissioner's term. And I think the court should look at, is that appropriate for an outgoing commissioner to bring in an abatement that is going to put the taxpayers on the hook for 20 or 30 years. One of those agreements I felt was with a developer that's been here for a long time and very well respected, and I think it was in place for a while. But this one that I voted against, I still don't know much about it, and I don't know that it's in the taxpayers' best interest for an outgoing commissioner to try to lock them into a 20-year, how many million was that one, BD?
I think it's 20.
About $66 million.
$66 million venture on an outgoing commissioner. I just think that's wrong. So I voted against it then, and I'm voting against it now.
Are you talking about the 3-to-1 agreement that we did? Okay. And on this particular item, 9Q2B, on page 7, that's accept and fully executed agreement of finance construction of road. Okay. Is that the same item that
the one that the court voted.
To it.
So the usually when we pass these first, then we bring them back so that the public has a record of a fully executed copy.
Right.
So this one was passed by the court in December. The other side signed, and all this is accepting a fully executed copy of it so that when people go search commissioner court records, they can find it.
But it was kind of rushed through. A lot of times we wait.
Right.
And this
sometimes we require, yes.
Now.
And sometimes we require that they sign it first and then we have one at one time. Sometimes, especially with TxDOT, we are the first to sign on a lot of those agreements and then we bring them back and they're considered and accept those agreements. So it happens both ways.
Yeah.
We don't really know how long he was working on this before December. I mean, he'd been working on these things for a long time.
A very long time, I think, on this one especially.
And he had to work with BD and he had to work with Tammy on most of this or all this stuff for a long time.
Yeah, on the East Montgomery County MUD 13, was actually the second time it came to us, the first time that we met. And this one, I think, has four developers. It runs through four developments. My recollection was the first time we met with him was January of 2021.
And when you say you met with, that's when y'all initially started trying to work this 381?
That's when Commissioner Metz and I met with the developers and their attorney.
When did it come to court
initially
the first time?
This.
Was it December the first time it ever came to court?
December was the first time it came to the court, yes.
But satisfied all the requirements?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just saying, I think it's something we should look at, especially got a new commissioner coming in. You know, we all get voted in and voted out by the taxpayers, and if they vote you out, they vote you out for something.
Yes, sir.
And then to push through this agreement, if I mean, you might have been working on it for a while, but it would, what could it have possibly hurt to wait for Matt Gray to get here 3 weeks later and talk about this?
Well, Commissioner, that as you know, the court's agenda is not our agenda.
Oh,
in fact, every time we put something on, you vote for somebody else. Commissioner Mess wanted it on the agenda for the 20th, and so it went on the agenda on the 20th.
There was also another item that that the previous commissioner wanted to pass through, and it got voted down.
Yes.
Recall. So it's not that we're not looking at these things, and everybody was in agreement on this. And, you know,
there's a proposed.
We should think about and talk about in the future.
Okay.
Commissioner Gray, I know you've only been in office a few weeks. You haven't had any time to look at anything of this that we're talking about.
We tried to get as familiar with it as quick as possible, and I commend your efforts on bringing that up on an outgoing, whether it was me or you or anyone up here on this dais. I think we should definitely bring that up and discuss at some point and how that's handled. But in the meantime, I think, Judge, you made a good point. It was all voted on, and, you know, I'm not going to go back on what was approved. And
All right. Is there any more discussion?
Are you good with it?
I think I've got to be. It was voted on in 2022, so.
Well, I mean, I just don't see.
This is just acceptance of the agreement's done. The county is bound by it.
It's done, is my understanding.
This is just to record what was done.
Just,
this is not voting on the actual agreement. We've already signed it.
Right.
Now they've signed it. We're just recording it.
Yeah.
So
in that sense.
I kind of agree with Commissioner Noack.
I
to some extent, but
yes.
We just have to do those on a case-to-case basis.
Yeah. Right. And I understand the concern. And this is really for transparency so that it's ease of search. When someone's looking for the agreement, they would find a fully executed copy within the Commissioner Court records.
Yeah. Okay.
But I move on it.
We have a motion to approve.
No, I'm sorry.
Is there a second?
Let Matt move on it.
Yeah, I'll move on it.
I second it. Okay. Matt moved.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
All right, let's move forward.
All right, and now
9U2 on page 8.
The judge is a little grumpy this morning. This item I was moving to open to thank you and the staff at the animal shelter for working so hard and working with the grant administrator to land $450,000 for the shelter.
You're welcome.
Now, if we could just use it, it'd be a whole lot better.
Yeah, if we could just use it all, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. So tell us, what can we do with this money?
Well, it's for life-saving type things.
Well, and you could
it is, but you can't use it for hard assets like that. You use it for spay neutering programs,
good,
that kind of stuff. And it's divided, I think, into two sections, and we'll get a first for $250 and the other. And be next year for the other 200, but that's pretty amazing that they got it. And
good work by all of you.
We were able in the past to use it more openly. That's how we bought that big trailer that we're getting fixed right now.
And they don't let you do that?
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Let me ask you, because I remember when I was over there, East County is where the need was for the spay and neuter, you know, programs the most, and a lot of the stray animals come from East County. Everywhere, but that's a big part of it. Could this money be used to rent a place to do spay-neuter work in East County?
The reason that it isn't is because they expect that would be a county expense construction that would be a normal cost.
Even if we just rented
of doing business,
brought somebody in.
Well, we can check it out.
I mean, I'm just thinking some way to get it done there.
What about the trailer y'all have? Couldn't you do like an on-site? Every weekend, go in and, you know, they do that. A vet comes up and does that in Willis every so often.
We do regular spay and neutering. We did 200 spay and neuterings a couple weeks ago at the shelter. People bring them in.
Yeah.
And any dog that does come in, any pet that comes in, is spay and neutering that we do bring in. And, but, you know, to do what you're talking about concern about expense, the increased expense, people, everything else. And, we're still getting our head around it right now, but we just added, we're in the process of We've got our live release manager. We have got our adoption coordinator. We've got everybody we need for fostering. It's all in place now. And before we start adding anything else, let's increase the rate of travel. We've already done that. When we went in, there were 517 animals. As of today, there were 376.
That's great.
And so the first number, if we can keep that at 3, we're doing pretty good.
So, yeah, when I was over there, we had 1,000 animals.
I know.
System. It was nuts.
It was crazy.
It was a terrible
but that's,
time.
It's, and, you know, the increase of sickness in the animals and spreading disease throughout with that kind of event is chaos.
I move on that. Good work to everybody. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
I'll second
that. You got a second?
I'll
all right.
second.
Motion is second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right, anything else?
And then 9U2, was that it?
9U2, that was...
we're good.
All right.
Thankfully.
You got so let's move forward. Emergency... Yes, sir. we have... No, at this point, with all due respect, we have a time at the end where you'll be able to come forward and make comment. But thank you for wanting to. All right, let's move forward. Emergency management. Jason?
Thank you. Good morning, Judge Commissioners. I get this in here where we can see it. Printed it for you in case some of the wording's small on the screen in front of you, so you can follow along when you're on your handout. Last court, Commissioner Nowak asked that I bring an update on the buyout program that we have here in the county, and I wanted to go through that real quick. I had the team put this together for us. So as you recall, this is a timeline of events in the county on page 2. In 1994, we had the big historic flood. Shortly after that, the county participated in a buyout program where the federal government did the buyouts directly at that time. Did approximately 250 buyouts back then, and there's little information still left to grab on what those entailed and where they were, because the feds did that program themselves without the county's involvement. And in April and May of 2016, we had the two historic floods, back-to-back floods, which prompted the FMA, the FEMA, to be awarding home buyouts under the 16 FMA grant. We received the award for that in June of 2017, and then again we had another flood event in August of 2017. September of 18, the county entered into contract with the GLO for CDGB disaster recovery, and then in May of 19 we had another flood event, and that one was in East County predominantly, and then in 2019, again September, we had Tropical Storm Imelda, which covered Southern County and East County. October of 19 is when the county started accepting applications for the buyout program, and then in November of 19 is when we were signing contracts related to this program, and then COVID hit. While a lot of folks were at home with COVID, things were going on. March 27th of 2020, the county entered its first buyout with a homeowner in East County. That buyout was the first one done since 1994 in the county. Since that time, under that particular grant, we've purchased 17 properties in the next 10 months during the month 2020 year. Then we had the Uri, the winter storm in February of 21. We had another FMA grant in 2019 awarded in August of 21. And then we went to scope modifications in 21 in October and was approved for another purchase of properties. And I won't finish with the timeline, but to date, we've purchased a total of 60 homes on the various grants that I'll show you here in just a few minutes, with an estimated 38 left to do with a goal of 50. We think we can stretch to 50. We are currently not accepting applications in the buyouts. The ones we have on the books have already been approved, and we're working on that. So unless we receive another award, the 50 that we anticipate to get done this year will complete that project and these grants. On page 3 It shows here where we had our funding sources. So we have two branches of funding, FEMA, which is the FMA grants, and the flood loss for repetitive loss or substantial damage, and then on the CDBG side, the disaster recovery on under HUD. And those focus more on specific damaged areas and then LMI. The program overview, it's voluntary. No homeowners forced to sell out. We have six different programs total, 60 buyouts completed, six relocations to new housing, part of that. We've had a little over $720,000 part of the incentives that help homeowners get out of the current home and into a new home. Total of $66.7 million allocated for these projects, and to date we've spent $13.5 million.
How does that compare, Jason, to other counties?
So under one of the CBDGR grants, which is related to Harvey, we were the only county in the state at the time that had purchased homes under Harvey, with a number of counties participating in that program. Some, like Harris County, participate directly, so they have direct allocation. They don't have to go to the state for approval or through FEMA approvals on each buyout like we do. So they've had some buyouts under that program in that county and in the city of Houston, but as far as a county managing its own program, up until a few months ago, we were the only one that had purchased homes under that grant to date.
Wow.
And it's a one-person operation over there that handles these, along with a vendor. Hagerty is one of our vendors that helps assist with this.
Jason, where are the majority of these homes located?
I'll get right there for you. I'm almost there, Commissioner. These are the various grants. The 2016 FMA, we've purchased 27 homes under that grant. We have reimbursement still waiting. We haven't closed that out yet. The 2019 FMA, there's been 12 homes purchased. The 2020 FMA just kicked off. Those went out to, they received notification. Yes, sir.
So on the 2016, is there any money left for that, or is it, will that?
There's a little bit left, but not much. The exact amount of funding was 9.073 million. And if I add this up in my head, we've spent 7.2, so there's a little bit there in there.
So how long do we have to utilize those dollars, and what do we do to target homes that qualify for those money?
So the homes in the 38 that we expect to close this year, hoping we finish at the 50, are built into these grants to finish them out. Okay. So the court, as you recall, that prompted this to come up last court, you extended some of the grants out two more years. That finishes up. They're very slow. I mean, if you know what goes into buying out a house, it's not easy. Once the homeowner agrees to sell, we have to go back and prove up their case that they have had substantial loss or a repetitive flood, and document all of that and all the repairs that they have done since the flood events. It's an atrocious amount of work. Some of these things, like when we buy out a house, we expend everything that's approved, and then we have to close out and prove up the case to get reimbursed. So we do have some reimbursement still coming from a lot of these buyouts. And if you look at like the 2019 FMA, we've bought out 12 homes, but only $58,000's been submitted for reimbursement right now, and that's due to the closeout process with the GLO and FEMA on these projects. Commissioner Walker, you asked where they are. So currently in Precinct 1, it's kind of small. We've purchased one home. I'm familiar with that home. It's over off of Milmac, just right there at the creek. It's no longer there. Once we buy these homes, we have to demolish them, turn the space into green space in perpetuity. So if you drive by there now, it's right before one of the wooden bridges on the right. That home is no longer there, and it's just a vacant piece of land now. In Precinct 2, we have had a total of 14 homes purchased. Precinct 3, 8, and in Precinct 4, 35. And this is not up to date. This slide, the GIS team hasn't updated it to reflect 60 homes have currently been purchased. It shows 58 on your slide. And this is how it breaks down by precinct. One property under the 26 FMA. Third property purchased once programs commence. Third-party properties purchased one commitment skins. The property was value purchased at $90,000. Under Precinct 2, 16 properties purchased, 10 of them in River Plantation. We did one relocation, and we have an anticipated 9 purchases left in Precinct 2 under the 2020 FMA. In Precinct 3, 9 purchased properties. The target area has been Timber Lakes, Timber Ridge, Commissioner. We have an additional 6 anticipated in with the remaining grants on that. And then in Precinct 4, 34 properties purchased. under all the programs. 15 of those are in Patton Village alone. We have had 5 relocations, additional 13 anticipated. And when we purchased the first house, the lady on your left of that slide, she was in Patton Village and purchased her home, got her in that brand new house that you see there. She was the first one we've done a purchase on since 1994. Wow. The amount of work and time that not only the homeowner goes through with it, but our staff, it's a sad and happy day. These folks are extremely excited to be getting rid of a home that has just absolutely been destroyed multiple times. And in her case, it had flooded several times in a matter of 4 or 5 years. And so we got her out of that high and dry, and she's a very happy camper. Any questions?
No, thanks for outstanding report. Bringing this up and going back all the way to the 1994 flood, and it, you know, it's tough because of the way that this process works. It's voluntary.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to get people that are willing and ready and, you know, want to admit that there's really no hope for their home. That's a tough place to be, and then, like you said, it takes so long. The hard thing for the commissioners is the fact that when, you know, you go into a neighborhood and you can only buy certain homes, you end up with a Swiss cheese-looking piece of property, and we've got roadways that, you know, we like Timberlake's Timber Ridge, we have some roads back there that we need to pull up and get rid of, but the fire department, they want the roads in place because they want to be able to get back there should something happen.
Sure.
Same thing with law enforcement, and then it ends up being a, you know, hangout for...
It's a dump site now for...
Drug dealers, and it's just a mess, but...
Yeah, we sent several hundred applications and notices out to homeowners on this program that based off of their flooding and the repetitive loss and then in the substantial loss categories to get just a handful of responses back. And Morgan in the office will call these folks, and she has meetings in their communities to encourage people to come out and take a look at the program to solicit a voluntary buyout so we can get rid of the flooded home and get it off the map. It saves them the hassle, and it ultimately is a safety issue for first responders having to constantly go over there during a flood event and check the home out. So,
well, part of the problem, especially in Timber Lakes, Timber Ridge, is that you have these people, these investment people that are investing in homes, and then they will refix them back up.
Correct.
Then they get flood insurance on them, and it just keeps the same thing, just keeps happening over and over again.
Yep.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It is. I was worked on that when I was in Texas House in 2015. If you recall, we went over there and talked a lot with
Remember,
people
stood,
about that
stood
deal.
There at the equestrian center, and next week it flooded where we took the picture. 6 feet of water was standing there the next
Unbelievable.
Week.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And like I said, last court, we currently have $69 million on the books in flood mitigation projects as well, which is your streams and creeks projects that the courts are working on. So we'll be working with each of the commissioners as we get closer to finalizing the project list and getting all the approvals necessary to submit bids for the work to get done.
When will you get an update on infrastructure projects like Sawdust Bridge?
So your application's still pending. It's a slow process. It's I was just telling someone a little while ago, and these things, you know, we just completed the book out for Ike a few years ago after 8 years or more. Harvey's still not booked out with FEMA, but when we deal with the FEMA COVID claim, they immediately responded with questions and requests for documentation the day we submitted it. So it's very unusual. We thought we'd have years to get everything ready for that, and they're on it very quickly. So
I know we the county submitted a lot of infrastructure projects, and at least we have a couple of them left in the hopper. So.
Correct. The biggest challenge we're going to face on some of the ones that are required LMI is we're running out of LMI locations in the county.
Yep.
And so the new census, that LMI census designated areas shrunk. And it's going to make it harder for us to compete on those competitive projects in the LMI zones because we're running out of them.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, but it's also when it comes to trying to take care of some of these serious issues that need large sums of money to fix, and we have grants out there available for it, it does make us less competitive. So.
All right, Jason, thank you for giving us that update. Let's move on to item B. If you would, please.
Yeah, item B is consider and discuss take appropriate action regarding the transfer of a WASI-funded position. It's called the Medical Reserve Coordinator from Public Health to OEM.
Move. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Whoa.
So I can give you some history. I can give you some history on this. So several years.
I don't need a lot of history. I just need to know what we're doing.
So currently, Public Health has a position that's funded, grant funded completely by UASI. It's currently vacant. This would authorize the transfer of that grant and the position to the county, and I would take that position at OEM and fill the vacancy and complete the work.
How much was the previous county position?
Correct. We used to have it years ago.
Under Sadler.
Yeah. So that's one of the things is it has a storage, so they have storage supplies and things like that related to the position. I have the space for it, and it was a position in the county at one time. We already have.
Where is it now? Under the
hospital district? It's under Public Health. The hospital district manages Public Health. It's at Public Health. I hired the MRC coordinator away from Public Health 6-8 months ago, and so it's been vacant since then. So the replacement would be in-house with me to be trained by the guy that used to do the job as well.
How much is it going to pay, Jason?
I don't have to pull the UASI grant for it. I believe the salary is under $60,000. And I'll have an item back next court to create and open the position and all that. So this is just to get permission to start working on it. I'll bring another item back to court to open the position, approve the salary, approve the grant acceptance and all that.
What's this role do, Jason?
They coordinate positions like paramedics, EMTs, nurses. They keep a roster of these folks that are willing to volunteer in times of crisis. They work on training, keeping their certifications up so they can volunteer for the county in times of need. We utilized these guys heavily during COVID when we were doing the vaccine program. We had a number of nurses and EMTs that helped and assisted that we didn't have to pay for because they volunteered their time. And that coordinator controls that list and maintains it and works with these folks. They also assist our CERT coordinator, which is a person that goes out into the community and trains citizens on how to be sort of like semi-first responders in a time of crisis. They go through an 8- to 9-week program to learn a little bit of law enforcement, search and rescue, fire and EMS, stop the bleed, CPR, things like that. And we utilize this coordinator also to use those so we can bring experts and things like that to assist training the civilians in that program.
Is this, how long is the grant funding going to?
It's been funded for the last 10 years or more. It used to be a county-funded position. It moved over to Public Health a couple years ago. UASI is in no jeopardy of losing the funded position. It's a fairly lower-paid position for the amount of work that's done. But it would be a huge asset for us to have in the office. I worked with this person almost on an hourly basis during COVID, and if we ever had a mass casualty or something, that person would come in handy, and having them in-house would just save a phone call.
All right.
I still don't understand why we want to move them from the health district to us. I'm having a hard time with that.
Ease of use. The health district doesn't have the space to have all of their staff on duty at all at the time. They don't have the storage space for it, so there's some logistics side issues on that side of the aisle, as well as, you know, bringing it over here. It used to be with us, and, you know, when I have to work with
it. It used to be with us, and it was moved. Why was it moved?
I can't speak to why Judge Sadler pushed it off to public.
Can any of those guys back there answer that question?
I don't have an answer for why it was moved.
Come to the mic if you can't hear you.
Hi, Melissa Miller, Montgomery County Hospital District and Management of Public Health District. That is a position that works very closely with OEM. That is the only time they are called up. They come, they bring volunteers to the shelters. They do all the things that Jason listed. And so they're very much directed by things happening with the Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. It really is a better fit there. I was not here when it was moved to the hospital district, public health district. I don't know the circumstances, but it has always made better sense to be an OEM position.
That's all I needed to know.
I'm sure it transferred over there years ago to help with the public health initiative when the county.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Thank you, Melissa.
Item 10C is consider assess to take appropriate action regarding supplemental payment for proration of taxes from flood bout properties in an amount not to exceed $6,000. Please name a funding source and authorize the processing and issuance of manual checks. We've got a number of these buyouts that as they go through the closeout process with title company, the taxes received and taxes awarded at that time did not line up. And in order to close out some of these grants, we need to get the taxes paid up on these properties so we can finish the file and submit them all for reimbursement. The grant, however, does not pay for that reimbursement. So this is a county expense, not reimbursable under the grant. We have worked extensively with the county attorney's office to develop a process to try to mitigate future losses like this. It's a timing issue with title companies and appraisal district stuff. It's a complicated issue, but we feel confident we've got some process in there, and I believe there may be a process for us also to submit some letters back to the previous homeowners to try to recoup and reclaim some of that as well. So.
All right. Amanda, we have a funding source for this?
I would name contingency.
Precinct 3.
Is it 6,000 total or 6,000 per house?
6,000 total in aggregate. It's a little bit less than that.
It's going to be less than that at this point. But it is a timing.
In the future, are we going to have to continue doing this?
So it's a timing issue between the closing date, and they're always, whenever you go close, like on your house, they estimate those taxes based on a variety of different factors. And so it's been off a little bit, and we need to go ahead and close this one out. We were off by, I think, one of them is like $3,200. So we estimate the ones that we've done, and it really is a very limited, very small amount. We're doing our best to mitigate that going forward in the future. We're working with Tammy to make sure that the county's exposure is as low as possible, but that's just part of it when, yeah. You know, it takes time yeah. to close, and we're working off estimates.
Basically, when these closings are done, before the appraisals are out on the properties and before the tax rates were set, the title companies used the prior year's appraised value and the prior year's tax rate. Well, of course, we were just like everybody else in 2022. The appraisals went up dramatically in 2022, so that's why this is more of a blimp. We have gotten with Tammy, and we believe we have a situation to kind of estimate those, give those estimates to the title, our own estimates to the title company rather than rely upon theirs. So we do not expect to be an issue in the future. And these are, 20 properties or something like that. Most of them are very small. When you close these, there's an agreement that says, if the prorations are off, the buyer and the seller will adjust it among themselves. Well, if it's $20, it's almost not worth writing a letter on something like that. But we have one or two that are larger that we probably will write letters to see if we can get back. But again, these are homes that we bought out. So whether people even still live here, okay. We do not know at this point.
You could also name your disaster fund that we have, kind of like a quasi-disaster fund that has some money left in it as well, if that's what you guys decided, either funding for source for us.
And I will tell you that we have worked, I've worked extensively with Julie Stewart in the county attorney's office and with Morgan and OEM, and we have developed, I think, the best plan that protects the county overall, because even after closing, the property owner could come back and say, I want to move that exemption to my new property. Well, we've already closed, it's a done deal. So what we are doing now is basing that estimate on the full taxable, the full market value, removing those exemptions. If there is an adjustment to be made, if there's a refund to be made, I can always and will always refund that back to that previous owner, but the county is made whole, so we're not in this situation again. So I think we have a good plan.
I move or second if it's been moved.
You have a motion, second. All in favor?
All right. What are we paying for it? I said precinct 3, but I don't think that's going to go over.
I would second that. contingency shelter. Or disaster fund?
Contingency is fine. I mean, contingency.
$3,200 or $3,210.
All right, I have a motion and a second on taking the monies, paying this and taking it from contingency. All in favor?
Wait. Commissioner Riley, thank you.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
All right. And the last item is currently over at the old forensics facility, we had a portable morgue trailer refrigerated unit that's a dishes covered grant item that's in hospital district's inventory that they've loaned to us. I'm trying to facilitate transferring that item to us permanently from the hospital district, as well as relocating it to the new forensics facility, and this is what this item does.
Does it have to go? I mean,
no, I don't want it at the new forensics. No.
We spent a lot of money. It's a beautiful place. You can fit 60 people in that freezer. We don't need another one.
Dr. Pedro.
I don't want to get rid of it, but I don't want it at the new forensics.
Put it somewhere.
Put it at your warehouse.
I'm not putting a morgue in the warehouse, but I have.
I don't want it. Just set it out there in storage.
I'll put it at OEM's office next door.
I don't
door
want
to
it at the new forensics.
Why don't we? May I make a suggestion and have Dr. Maneri, who's in charge of all this, what's your opinion, Doctor?
So it's actually just a refrigerated truck. There's no more capacity. It's just for storage of decedents. It's an amazing asset for the county to have. We shouldn't get rid of it. It doesn't matter to me where we use it. We can currently, without any adjustments, very easily we can hold over 50 to 60 decedents in our new facility. So the need for it would probably be very low, but I don't want to get rid of it because we can still have lots of things happen. And so where it's stored doesn't matter to me as long as we can access it if we need to. But we shouldn't get rid of it. We did use it. We use it for almost a whole year straight. During.
Can we leave it right where it's at now?
No.
Yeah. Why hospital?
No, the sheriff's office is trying to utilize the old facility, and they're actually in the process of demolishing that facility.
Wait, this is the sheriff's.
So, the can we take it to your
facility? I can house it. The only caveat, Commissioner, is when we built out Dr. Paneri's facility, it was stubbed out at the loading dock for the power for this unit. If I move it somewhere else, I may have to come back with a request for funding to hook it up to power, because the $5,000 is just to get it moved.
Okay, and I will.
So, but I can get that.
It takes a tractor truck to move the trailer.
It's Connex based, so it requires a Connex type trailer and a tractor trailer to move it, and a crane.
So it's
to move
on
it.
The ground.
It's on blocks right now.
And it's not to exceed, so it could be.
Does not have its own wheels.
Let me ask
Jason,
you,
Jason. It could be less.
I hate the idea of it being at the new forensics facility. However, if the shit hits the fan, so to speak, do you need the bodies right there anyway? You're going to ask for that truck to be hooked up where it's supposed to be.
So I thought it was on wheels. So you're saying this is a Connex box that you got to bring the trailer in,
correct.
Pick it up, put it on there, and set it on the ground.
That is correct.
What's it look like? Is it look like a?
Is it ugly?
Yeah. I don't want some piece of crap sitting over the brand new building.
No, I understand exactly what you're doing. I mean, it's several years old, so it's not shiny and brand new like her new facility.
It needs to be pressure washed.
Yeah.
Is it around back? I mean, where you're talking
back.
About parking?
Yeah. You can't see it from the main entrance.
I don't
entrance.
See that being a problem.
Okay, well, I had to change my mind.
Maybe we could hook it up to a truck and drive it around since it's air conditioned and pick up the dogs in it.
But the dogs have got to be dead dogs.
It's a little colder than air conditioning.
Okay, I have to regroup. If it's a Connex, we got to go through all that. There's no sense in trying to do it twice.
Correct.
I can send my people and have it power washed.
We've got to make sure it looks good.
And I don't have a problem getting it power washed and getting it cleaned up before we get it moved or after we get it moved. I'm just concerned if you wanted it over with me,
fine.
I'd need power.
I didn't realize what it was.
Yeah.
And Sheriff, you're wanting it out of there, right?
Yes.
I'm sure he does. Yes.
All right. All right, I'll make a motion that we do this.
I'll move.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I do need, all right. I need a funding source.
Free.
Commissioner Walker, can you?
Forensics facility.
Contingency.
Okay.
All right.
Was there objection to that for the record? The contingency?
No objection. No.
Okay. We need to move again. So
we need to say it again?
Yes.
We need okay. All right, purchasing.
Gilbert? Judge, we need a motion and an approval with that.
With the funding source.
For the contingency?
Yes.
I have a motion to do it in contingency.
Second.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Right. Motion carries.
Thank you,
Thank
gentlemen.
You. You're welcome.
My, oh, my. Is that done yet?
All right. To be clear, because it's not on the agenda, these are for Commissioner Precinct 1 and for Commissioner Precinct 3 to purchase these two Freightliner and Command trailers. We're going to use the Houston-Galveston Area Council contract. The reason there's a price difference between the two is the Precinct 1 trailer is in production. It was being produced for some other entity, so we were able to buy that one. I guess they canceled their order. And the Commissioner Precinct 3 trailer, that's a new order. So we're going to review, I told Commissioner Nowak that we could review his trailer, go through it, make sure all of the items that are on that trailer are what you need, and then, but it's not to exceed $942,000.
What each?
Sir?
$942,000 each or total?
Well, the first one for Commissioner Precinct 1 is $921,640.
What are these?
These are commands.
And you had mentioned some stuff about that you had talked
right.
concerning involved in this. What's the difference between Precinct 1 and Precinct? Are they exact same? Or
they're what? The same. They were just, we got pricing at two different times. The one we got for Precinct 1, which is the one we talked about in ARPA, it was done in December.
Somebody had ordered it.
The structure's
back the way.
Correct. And so the new one for Precinct 3,
yeah.
that's a new order. So it's about $20,000 difference, but they're identical.
And much like the need in Precinct 1 for the fact that you don't have an abundance of these in supply, in Precinct 3, because of just how densely populated we are, the belief in the community that the fire, police, et cetera, the feds, the state, they all believe that having this asset would be not only a smart and prudent move, but absolutely one of the best things that you could do with this ARPA funds that are available.
Absolutely.
I have no desire to just look for a reason to spend ARPA funds. I think that, honestly, this gift from the government has been a terrible thing for local and state governments because there's been this mad dash to spend it. But when we know with the type of events that we put on in South County, for example, I think the 19th of April, we're going to have the Ironman.
And
LPGA. Have several proms. We're going to have LG, the Ladies Professional Golf Association, and we're going to have the Insperity Tournament all going on at the same time.
And a concert at the Pavilion.
If something happens, you can't say, oh gosh, what a waste of money having a trailer here to help in this type of event.
Where's it going to be? Is it going to be stored?
We'll keep it in.
And you're going to keep it
in three.
Yeah. And so when somebody calls for it, you hook on to it.
Somebody can do it. And any of our CDL drivers can drive it.
Okay.
They can drive it and park it, and they'll be trained to set it up and mobilize it.
This money is for a Freightliner also. It's not just the trailer itself. It was around $600,000 in the Freightliner with it. And it's like the commissioner said, it can be used for so many different things around. Even surrounding counties, if Walker County had a major or San Jacinto County in the north part, it can be utilized for a variety of things. And
I know during the wildfires, Sheriff, was you the only one that had a command post out there? Was it just yours?
Yep.
Who else has got these things?
So currently the sheriff's office still has his, and then fire marshal's office has one, but theirs is specialized. It's less command and more equipment and technical stuff for on scene, and that's it at the present moment in the county's inventory.
So just say I had something on the west side and the sheriff's command station was somewhere else. Which one of y'all going to let me borrow your...
Come April, we'll also have the AMBUS, which has a command structure feature in it as well. So between these two items, which are tractor pulled, or the AMBUS, you would see both one or two, or even the sheriff's, you could see all three on a scene because of the need. You know, sheriff's is law enforcement centric. We're not going to have the space to put fire and EMS guys in there.
We need to purchase one for each commissioner.
I don't think that all for four, no, Judge. I think two is more than enough because Commissioner Walker's already worked with his ESDs to work out the logistics on deployment and getting it utilized. And Precinct 1's ESD 1 by Chief Oliphant, they're already our countywide dive team along with Precinct 1 Constable's office. So they're used to deploying countywide as needed. It's not something unusual for them to do. Plus, all these ESDs have mutual aid agreements where they work and help each other all the time. Commissioner Nowak back on during the Thanksgiving break had a massive commercial structure fire that was on scene multiple hours and then well into the next several days for the investigation. This unit would have been tremendous to help in that regard because as they gathered evidence on scene and it was raining, they were having a problem keeping evidence from getting wet. And so they could have brought it in and kept it out of the elements and had their crew there overnight, 24/7 on site while they secure their evidence. So these things have multiple purposes, not to mention the rehabilitation process on scene for a fire. As these big fires happen, the fire guys have to clear off every 20 minutes or so to take a break as the next crew rotates. Cool right off, now, they do that in the elements. Cooling, yeah. So this would fix that problem.
Chair, second. Any more discussion?
Who seconded?
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Jamal.
Thank you. Thank you, Gilbert. Thank you, Jason.
Putting that together.
All right. Tax assessor and collector.
It is so good to see you, Tammy. I'm glad. Glad you survived your illness.
Okay, Judge and Commissioners, we're here to consider and take appropriate action on the Montgomery County tax abatement policies and guidelines. We're required to do this every 2 years. And what I just handed you is we had a few minor tweaks in some of the language, but for the most part, the schedule is what we changed the most. We upped the capital investment, the minimum, from $4 million to $10 million. And went up from that category.
$4 million or $8 million?
I'm sorry?
$4 million to $8 million or $4 million to $10 million?
It went from, the minimum was $4 million, now the minimum is $10 million. That range was $4 to $8 million, now it's $10 to $50 million.
Okay.
For category A. And then we went from 8 and 25 on category B from to 50 and 100 million. And of course, category C is over 100 million.
Tammy, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but what you just passed out is completely different than what is in the backup as far as what we're adopting. So for category A, the backup shows $10 million to $50 million.
That's what I just said.
Wait, your category A says $4
million. To $8 million. That's what
is that what
asking.
I just passed out?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. BD handed that to me?
No, I got.
I hate to blame BD, but he handed that to me.
I got the four. I'm with you. I got the $4 to $8 million. You've got the.
That's our old.
I got the 10 to 50. So y'all have to work off the old stuff.
What I attached both, to the what was attached to the agenda is
it's
the 10 to 50.
One. 10
yes.
to 50, 50 to 100, and over 100.
That's correct.
And the minimum number of jobs is 10.
That remained at 10.
Is there anything we can put in here about requiring people living in Montgomery County, or is there any way to?
I will tell you, we only have 14 active abatements at this time. We are trending more
than 381.
Well, we're trending more to 381s and getting away from the abatements for the most part.
I think that's what the request had been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are the differences between this and that?
That's what it used to be, and this is what it is now.
Okay.
The number of employees changed too,
gotcha.
Tammy?
Yes.
No, it remained the same.
The employees are the same.
And that's just the minimum number.
Yeah.
You know, the employee count is something we look at
yeah.
in all of them and factors into, you know, the type of abatement. But that's just what we found a few years ago, that as technology increases, you can manufacture more with less employees.
You speak more to the microphone.
Employee counts were going down. So we made that change several years ago, probably 4 years ago, on the employee count.
Is there any way to have more teeth? I don't like when we acquiesce and accept their default or give them the opportunity to cure, because if we just, we have no way of saying we're canceling this agreement, we're done. And
can we do?
We can do it for no reason? Just
no.
No. That's what
no.
I'm saying. So we don't have that option, yet we don't hold these people. Y'all are very free to want to discuss options to letting them cure or giving them a way around what they signed. In my opinion, if once it's executed, it's a done deal.
Well, didn't we just
well, statutorily,
it,
we are required to give them 30 days to cure.
Okay, if they don't, though, we need to just default it, period. Don't
and
give
we,
them
and
anymore.
And we do. We either enter a mutual termination, and that's up to y'all. That's your decision. Or we default them.
But
we bring them to court.
Can we be more strict and say this: they will be defaulted, period. If they don't, if we have to,
whether
once
it's
they get past their 30 days, they're defaulted. Don't give them an option.
That's what we do. I bring them back to court after that 30 days.
The court will override that. I'm saying, can we agree that if we are going to put the county out there and say we are going to give them this abatement no matter what, that we, I don't think we should, I don't care if COVID hit.
I don't care if their
company has to have been out of business. They entered into an agreement, either fulfill your obligation or get out.
And when they
on almost every mutual termination, the capture has been the same thing as if there was a default and you default the agreement.
Right.
One reason we do a mutual termination is termination not only their obligation under the agreement, but the county's obligation under the agreement as well.
But we are recapturing either way, whether it's mutual termination or if it's a clean default. We do recapture at the same rate on either way.
Last couple of months, we've done that on a couple of them, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah.
We recaptured
the money.
So on almost every one recently, we've actually done mutual terminations. We had one recently where we did a modification. We recaptured all the back taxes,
right,
modified it to let them go forward, and, you know, with a lower employee count.
And we are recapturing, in addition to that, we are recapturing penalty and interest, the statutory penalty and interest, so that we're treating those companies as though it were delinquent, any individual delinquent taxpayer. We don't waive their penalty and interest. We're recapturing that as well.
Like with Exxon, there was a lot of conversation about, you know, letting them save face and get out. And look, they canceled the I don't care. They didn't meet their obligation. I'm not in the business of making Exxon look good. I just say default it and move on. I'm just asking if there's a way to.
Well, and that's y'all's call when we bring it.
Stringent, and I did. I was like, Anadarko didn't care. But
isn't that a decision for the commissioner's court? You guys bring it and we make the decision.
We agree to be like, if we're going to issue an abatement, let's hold their feet to the fire too, because they're not going to let us get out of it.
Well,
we can't go to them and say, we're having a bad year this year. Can you pay your taxes? They're not going to do that.
Well, we are holding their feet to the fire in the sense that we're recapturing what they would have paid had they not had that abatement in place.
You know that that's not the same as we can't do that on our end. Right? They're not going to pay taxes voluntarily because we need money that year. They're not going to say, oh, yeah,
all
right.
Well, and also,
but we are recapturing.
And, you know, and when we recapture and they can still move forward as a company, that's a plus for the county if they're still operating. And we're not trying to put people out of business.
Let's put that as an item for discussion as we think about changing the policy or whatever. But I'll call the question on this and move on the guidelines and criteria.
We can only do
that you have moved up.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Is the only time we can make these changes. And two, but this was deferred so you had opportunity to look at it, because we should have adopted this in November, and Tammy was wanting to make sure you had your say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it so much.
So did y'all vote?
Yeah, I have a motion.
Second.
You have a motion?
I move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
I thought you made the motion.
I'm getting lost in all the discussion with everybody talking. Whatever it takes. We have three motions on it. A first and a second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Tammy. All right. IT.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners. If I can beg your indulgence for just a moment, I don't want to have to read this entire thing here.
How about this if I just move on it?
Roger that.
We got to add one piece.
We have a correction.
Oh, no.
The salary for the supervisor IT help desk is actually missing. Mm-hmm. It is $76,500. The judge pointed that out for me this morning.
Yeah.
But I do want to say we got rock and roll Gandalf. Larry Petro is going to be retiring, and that's what's kind of generating.
It's budget neutral.
It is budget neutral.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
To be clear, you're just reallocating
duties.
Exactly. So it's a good thing.
All right. This time, we're going to recess our commissioner's court to convene public hearings.
Consider the partial replat lots 7 and 8, block 6 of Splendora Estates to be known as Splendora Way. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to subdivide two lots into three lots. The plat is not ready today. The HOA has not been found, but is anybody here to speak about that? Okay. Consider the partial replat of lot 49 of Country Colony Section 2 to be known as replat of lot 49, Country Colony Section 2. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to subdivide one lot into two residential lots. The plat is submitted under 15A. The public notice hearing was mailed to the HOA. Is anybody here to speak about that one?
All right. Thank you. We're going to reconvene and take action. Now, Amy, just as a course of how we do this, the engineering has put consider and approve final plat replat for lot 49, number 2.
Right.
But they have not mentioned anything about 1. Is it incomplete?
Right. So 14A1 is not ready for approval today, but 14A2 is ready. So under 15A, will you please consider and approve the final plat of replat of lot 49, Country Colony Section 2?
All right, we have a motion. We have a motion. Second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right. All right, at this time, we're going to temporarily leave the courtroom for executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071 and 551.074. Thank you all, and we shall return. Thank you all for being patient. Let's move forward and reconvene. There's nothing to be done at this point in terms of actions on the public health district. However, on the first one, if you would, please. We have a motion on that.
I'm going to read this motion, so I don't want to leave anything out. But I want to move to appoint Commissioner Walker to oversee the Building Maintenance Department, including the operations, employees, staff, and activities until March the 31st of 2023. That's my motion.
Move.
I just moved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you all. Are there any other matters that we need to discuss here in terms of miscellaneous? If not, our citizens. Is there anyone here who'd like to come forward and share anything about any particular topic you'd like us to hear? If there is none, do I have a motion to adjourn? I talked to him in between. Okay. Thank you.
One thing real quick on miscellaneous. Next court, I have asked our fantastic Sheriff Rand Henderson to come to Commissioner's Court and give us an update on some of the law enforcement activities he has been working on. One of those would be recruiting, some of the things he's done with the real-time crime lab. But I just want to make sure that gets on the agenda, and we should all be looking forward to his presentation.
Thank you. Anything else? All right. With motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all for being here today. We appreciate it so much.